There was a man who was, officials discovered, was away from his job, and he hadn't been to work for at least 6 years. Absent, not even there. And the only reason this township found out that the man was not there is that they invited him to a special celebration to honor him for 20 years of service. And when they discovered he wasn't there and they followed up later, hey, we noticed that, wait, where is this guy? And for over 6 years, he was not showing up at work. Isn't that something? How in the world could somebody be employed in local government and someone not notice that they weren't working? Well, I don't know. It's a mystery. But eventually they found him, and they sued him for a breach of contract, and he had to pay back all the pay that he was paid for years that wasn't working. And I think he ended up serving some time in jail as well. For us to notice someone else is important. Even today, we're still sad about the little girl who is missing from Bridgeton, still looking. Every day there are people that go missing. Many times people don't even notice. And sometimes we do things that other people don't notice about us, and we say, hey, wait, I just did this. Why don't you notice? Our time and energy and attention are important to us. And so when people give us their time, when people invest in us with their energy, when people invest in us with their attention, we appreciate that. We welcome that. Our children especially need our time and our energy and attention. But it doesn't stop in grade school. It doesn't stop in high school or college or any career path that young people may take today. And there are jobs today that our young people are considering that didn't even exist 15 years ago. And so all of us, regardless of our age and in our life cycle of experience, have a responsibility to not only invest our time, energy, and attention in good ways, but also to pay attention when we notice someone who is missing. When we notice someone who has just slipped out of view. Do you know that in the United States, in a recent survey, that we don't know one-third, or one-third of us don't know our neighbors at all? A full 30-some percent do not know our neighbors. And so though we may see them on the street, we may notice them down the road as they get in and out of their car, we may see them in a grocery store, but we have no relationship with them. And when we don't have a relationship with them, it's easy when people can just move out of view. We don't quite know exactly when they're there, when they're not, what their needs are, and when they aren't. You know, Jesus cared a lot about everybody that he met. We remember he gave special attention to children, but he also gave special attention to women, and special attention to men and women and families who were set aside in that society without resources. They were neglected. They were abandoned. Today, in our Old Testament reading, we hear about a time when the prophet says, we want you to buy land. We want you to build houses because God wants to bless the communities that you're in. So he says, go, get the deeds, buy the land, invest in the communities. And with curious, maybe to our mind, we just think we should put the deeds in a safe or online somewhere. Well, back then, they kept deeds of property ownership in earthen jars and clay jars. And you know, to this day, archaeologists are still finding written deeds from thousands of years ago, still kept safe and sound in these earthen jars. But that Old Testament lesson reminds us that God wants us to invest in our community and to keep those deeds safe and secure so that the land might have a blessing because the community pays attention to those that live there. And in our New Testament lesson, we learn when Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, you know, there's not a problem with having a lot of resources, either a resource of physical strength, mental strength, financial strength, any kind of strength or gift that we have, nothing wrong with any of that. But he says, remember, if you are rich in the things of this world, again, not just financial, but in any other respect, that we need to remember that our benefits or our resources are given to us to benefit others, and that the real test of wise stewardship is when we invest our resources in the lives of others through time, energy, attention, and other ways. So Jesus reminded his disciples as he was here. Remember, this is a parable, another one of the many parables in the Gospel of Luke. And in this section of Scripture, he reminds the folks that being rich in this world is something that can sometimes be a stumbling block. But it's not being wealthy. It's actually what the wealthy person does with their time, energy, and attention. Remember, this is, again, a parable, and so we don't look to this parable for a great theological treatise on the difference between heaven and hell. We don't spend a whole lot of time arguing with Abraham and why is he talking to people, you know, if he's dead, and why the rich man is able to talk with Lazarus, who, by the way, has nothing to do with Lazarus, who Jesus did, in fact, raise him from the dead. It was not an uncommon name in Jesus' time. And so we have a rich man and Lazarus who both exist in the same community. And what the parable invites us to pay attention to is the main point of the story. And so see if you can figure out what the main point is, as I just recall a few of the details. So you have a rich guy that has a great house and has a great meal. I'm totally on board with all of that. I think it's really great. This guy has resources and he eats well. But as it turns out, there's a person just outside his gate, that there's a person right in his community who needs special help. He's not able to be mobile. He's not able to take care of himself. In fact, he only takes care of himself with some of the scraps that fall from the rich man's table. And the only care that he gets, never mind health insurance, the only care that he gets is that the dogs come and lick his wounds. As much as I love my dog, that does not sound very comforting to me. And so here Jesus is setting up in his story, this is not real life, this is a parable, a story about real life, that we have somebody with resources who ignores a person just outside his gate. You know, back in Jesus' day, if you wanted to build a wall or, say, a fence around your property, you had to invite the community to approve that. And the reason is that no one was able to build a gate around a town or a piece or a parcel if it would keep you from hearing the cries of the poor outside the gate. You had to be able to pay attention to the needs of others. So build your gate, build your wall around the city. But you have to have places along that wall where people would pay attention to the cries of need just outside the gate. And so Jerusalem, you know, had 12 huge gates and many smaller ones. And these gates were put there on purpose for people to go in and out. And there was always a watch person at the gate. So if anybody came to a gate late at night or a person who cried out in need, that they would be heard and so that people could respond to those needs. We never want to be so isolated with our AirPods and headphones and loud music playing that we ignore the sounds of those in need. But sometimes those needs are overwhelming. Sometimes it's good to take a break. And sometimes it's good for us to have a lot of our own self-care so that as we take care of our own needs, we just leave room so that we can hear the needs of others too. So the rich man and Lazarus, again in the story, they both pass away. And the Lazarus is sent, of course, he goes to a place of positive reward, and the rich man goes to a place of torment. And curiously, in the story, the rich man calls down to Lazarus and Abraham and asks him, you got to go back, and if you could just give me a little bit of water. And you could see that this rich man had no transformational experience, because as much as he ignored Lazarus in his lifetime, even in this picture of the afterlife, the rich man is still thinking that Lazarus is his servant. Tell Lazarus to come here and give me some water. Can you hear him say that? I'm here in torment. I need some water. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just ask Lazarus to go get some for me. He doesn't apologize to Lazarus, like, say, we might picture when Jesus was on the cross between two thieves. One person looked at Jesus and just taunted him. Why don't you come on down from there if you think you're so great? If you're really the Son of God, why would you be hanging on a cross? And the other thief just next to him said, boy, you just totally don't get this yet. Here is Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, and you have the nerve to condemn him for doing what he actually came here to do. And although that thief, the one who hung next to Jesus, he didn't go to any Bible studies, didn't join any churches, he didn't give to the Red Cross, he didn't support Presbyterian women, he couldn't memorize the books of the Bible and tell you what they were. This person who hung next to Jesus on the cross, in that moment, as his life is nearing its end, Jesus says to him, what did he say? Today, you will be with me in paradise. See, God's love is so amazing and so divine that God welcomes us without any prerequisites at all. And you'll say, well, gee, Pastor Kevin, I think I'll just be ornery my whole life. Because then, at the very end, I could just kind of straighten up. Yeah, I could just do it then. Just remind me when I'm about to die, and I'll just cover all those things. I'll keep that special verse card in my wallet right next to the call 911 and emergency information. And so I can just rehearse. Oh, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. Now I remember. Okay, that's good. But God, this again, this wonderful parable story tells us, why would you want to waste your whole life if at the end of it, you're trying to make up for all those missed years of opportunity? Why would you want to have resources in this life if nobody else benefits? Did you ever actually read a story that you enjoyed and not tell somebody? Did you actually ever find something on sale and not tell your best friend what bargains you found? Did you ever have a wonderful experience at Cold Spring Church or perhaps another volunteer group that you're in and not tell somebody else? What did you do today? Oh, nothing. And instead of saying, I had the most fantastic group today, I just want to tell you what I learned. I just want to tell you who I saw. I just want to tell you how my life is different because I was doing that. Of course, we want to share our abundance with others. But sometimes we get so stuck in our rut, like this rich man, that all he could do is be a consumer of resources. And he forgot the joy of being a producer of resources. Someone who could share out of his abundance. Now, again, in this, the way Jesus tells the story of the rich person, this rich man, I'm just guessing, wasn't very happy. Because he was miserable even when he, in the afterlife, as it's pictured here. He wants Lazarus to come bring him water, and then, again, not apologizing for how he treated Lazarus when it was his community responsibility to care for the person just outside his gate, calling for help. Then he says, oh, well, listen, Lazarus, or Abraham, you need to go back and send help so that my five brothers won't end up with the same fate as me. And remember what Abraham said? Even if somebody would rise again from the dead, they will not repent. That if they don't repent, even hearing the testimony of Moses and the prophets, and we in this age would add the story of Jesus, if they haven't repented with all that, there's no point in the afterlife trying to make up for lost time. Once life is led, the choices have been made. And so the opportunity in the story is that we pay attention to the gifts that God has given us and be reflective and thoughtful about how we use our gifts to bring joy to other people. You know, one of the saddest things I'm sure anybody might imagine is just, oh, I would have had a better life if only my family paid attention to me. I would have had a better life if only that church across the street told me about Jesus. This is sort of how Jesus is showing the rich man. If only somebody had come to tell me the good news, I wouldn't have ended up in this terrible fate. And Jesus says that there's hope because the good news about Jesus closes the gaps. It watches for the disconnects. It creates new connections where there are none. And so Cold Spring Presbyterian Church's mission is to celebrate the good news about Jesus in worship. And as we proclaim that good news, we don't want to keep it inside our building like an echo chamber. Instead, we want to proclaim the good news, again, in thoughtful ways, and each of you has a unique way of doing just that. You say, well, I don't get out much. It doesn't matter. Great things come from people who thoughtfully pray for other people. God works through and because of our praying. You say, well, I'm not really good with neighbors. You know, I just as soon ignore them and say hi to them. I totally get that. But let's reverse the trends in this nation. You know, of the generational groups, the baby boomers, the next generations to come, the millennials, all of these different groups, the baby boomers are the friendliest of all. Who's here is a baby boomer? We have a lot of baby boomers in our group. You guys are friendly. And we need to lead the way to show other people that it's worth taking just a moment. You can't do it all day long. You can't be, you know, like a ringleader at the grocery store. Hey, come on up, people. Let's have a little conversation here while we wait in aisle 9. Come on, let's just talk. Who's having a great day today? No, you don't need to do that. But what you could do is maybe if you ever get in line, a slow one perhaps at Aldi, and you're there trying to wait for your thing, you got your bags going, you just wait and you hope everything's in the right order in your cart so you don't hold things up. I wonder if you just turn to the person near and say, hey, how are you? And I wonder what a difference that would make. And again, some of us like to be quiet. Maybe sometimes you've extended a greeting to someone and they go, what's so good about it? Leave me alone. Can't you see I'm tired? Well, even that could be an opportunity. Just the thought of extending beyond ourselves. So God wants us to enjoy our resources. God wants us to bless other people with our resources. Because the gaps in our life, the gaps in our community, the gaps in our nation, the gaps around our world, Jesus stands in the gap. Ultimately, Jesus stood in the gap between our Creator and us and said, there is a way. And that way is open to us today. But Jesus also said there are lots of other gaps that we need to invest in our community and be present for people when they're in need. And if we can't deliver a resource, we can help others do the same. We can pray and commit our resources to benefit others. This today, this parable, is the story of the case of a man who never noticed. I'm glad that you're noticing and that this community is blessed because of you this week. Let us pray.